90.
It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
That's what I call a hit. That's a hit. What's up, fellas?
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Ray Charles.
You all need some tissue?
A lot of people make it a habit, you know.
Yep.
And I was looking on the internet earlier because I knew you were going to play this, that they listen every July 4th.
Yep.
You know? And Mark Levin usually plays that right here, the show that follows you that's been on for quite a few years now on WBOB between 6 and 9.
Yep.
And he likes to play that.
That's a hit.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And Sandlot's one of my favorite movies, and they do this rendition on this on that movie.
Yeah.
Great song. Shout out to Ray Charles. What's up, AJ?
Hey, you are. You and Doug in the house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got Doug in the house. What's up, Doug?
Well, I'm excited to be here, particularly after following Ray Charles.
Right.
Can't do anything.
Right. Let's just go home.
Yeah. I think that's the message for today,
right.
Actually.
That's right.
I'm sure that Ray Charles probably, he's been in the area. He was at the St. Augustine School for the Deaf and Blind.
Yep. Yep.
When he was young.
Got his start at La Villa, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Before I get, you know, it is very cold on sofas at night, so I don't want to be in the doghouse. So I want to give my wife, Tiffany, a birthday shout out.
Wow.
Her birthday is on Sunday. Also, I want to thank our wonderful parents, Lamar and Harriet White, for trusting me with their most precious masterpiece.
Oh.
So thank you, thank you, thank
Happy
you, thank
birthday.
You. Thank you, thank you. I wrote that down to make sure I didn't mess that up. No. Okay. All right. So on today's show, we will continue to reflect on how our nation has changed since the pandemic. Some ways we're better, and some ways we've become worse. We've become more paranoid and easier to manipulate by big tech and big media. A lot of stuff that's flying today, this stuff wouldn't have flown 2-3 years back. Many of our politicians and so-called activists know little to nothing about American history or economics or human nature. Many of the solutions that are being proposed to address social economic barriers between the races will only make things worse, in my opinion. America is the greatest nation in human history. However, it's been diminished by short-sighted individuals and politicians. Just for starters, I believe there is work to do. There's plenty of work that needs to be done. Our Constitution starts out with the phrase, "We the people," in order to form a more perfect union, as if the union's not perfect. They never said it was, but it's up to us together to make it better. It is the job of every generation to hold our nation to the standard that all men and women are created equal and that they are endowed by their God with certain rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the whole American history. It's been a struggle to make this ideal a reality. America was born in a savage time. If you go back in history, like all nations on the planet, they all took part in slavery, right? Slavery and wiping out the Native Americans, those are things that we're not proud of, but it happened. But we have to also balance this with the fact that 700,000 Americans died to address slavery. Can't leave that out. The U.S. saved the entire world from Nazi Germany and from a Soviet Union global communist takeover. The U.S. is not perfect. Governments are led by imperfect individuals, so of course mistakes will be made and have been made. To make improvements, you have to get off the sidelines and off of Twitter and dive in the arena. Let's talk about it. We're going to talk about American history today because, like I said, a lot of stuff I hear on TV and radio is just factually wrong. And a lot of people are doing a lot of race baiting. And I say this, too, before I get back on strip. Now I'm ad-libbing. You are a sorry politician if you can only try to divide people to get them to listen to you. And I see a lot of that. If you have to point fingers at this group or that group, I'm sorry, it may feel good. It may stretch an itch, but that problem is gonna be there in the morning. It's like drinking alcohol. If you drink, smoke, or use drugs, yeah, you get high, you get the trip. But guess what? That issue is gonna be staring you right in the face in the morning. So unless you're talking about, see, the thing is, a leader, you got thermostats and you have thermometers, right? The thermometer tells you what the temperature is. I go to the doctor, okay, I have a fever. I know I'm sick, doctor. I don't need you to tell me I'm sick. Tell me how you're going to fix me. So we have a lot of politicians that love to point out problems, right? But where are the solutions? When Dixie always say, we're the beef people. Where's the beef? Mm-hmm. So, you know, my thing is, like I said, anybody can talk about a country. I mean, that doesn't make you brave or bold because you're talking. Man, would you be that bold in communist China, you know, or North Korea or Iran? You know, okay, America's kind of soft. You know, she doesn't, you know, put you in you know, gas chambers. You're not bold because you're bad talking the country. But what people have to understand that if we all get on this hate America trip, you have to love the country enough to put yourself in harm's way to join the military. So if we push this anti-American narrative in these kids' minds, I'm pretty sure you're going to have a problem getting troops to join the military with all this anti-American stuff. You shouldn't hate your own team. But where were we? Let me get back on strip. Okay, so like I said, let's talk about how it all started. You know, you had kings and queens who ruled Europe, and the average person on the planet was a slave. I don't care if you lived here. Look, more slaves went to the Middle East than came to the Americas. But they don't talk about that because those slaves were castrated, so they couldn't reproduce. You know, you had more slaves that went to the vast majority of slaves that left Africa went to South America. But the treatment there and the climate was so bad that they had a 50% mortality rate, right? So, but the United States, 600,000 slaves were bought here, and they made the 50 million African Americans who are here today. But anyways, like I was saying, the Muslims conquered Constantinople, and they conquered Spain, right? And they reached as far into Europe as France. The Church of England and the Catholic Church controlled it. I'm just talking about how savage the world was back in the day. So over in England, you had a state religion. If you wasn't Anglican, and you pretend if you wanted to be Catholic or whatever, cut your head off. You know, same thing was with Spain. In Spain, they had the Inquisitions. They killed millions and millions of Muslims and Jews over in Spain. This all happened around the same time the United States was founded. You know, over in Africa, the white man didn't go into Africa and, you know, steal those slaves. Slavery was already going on in Africa at the time the Europeans arrived. So what I'm trying to state is that the whole world was jacked up back then.
It wasn't unique to America.
Right, it was a worldwide phenomenon.
It followed them. That was part of their culture.
Right, right. But the United States was the only country on the planet that put it on paper that all men are created equal. See, once you put something on paper, then I can call you out for your hypocrisy, which is good. But had they not put that on paper, you wouldn't have nothing to work with, right? So, like I said, we're just going down world history a little bit. So, like I said, you got Europe in slavery, you got Africa in slavery, you got the whole world, you know, in some form of slavery.
Was there any country before America, after we became a young country, and then not too much later, we decided after Abraham Lincoln was in office to, with the Emancipation Proclamation, to
yep.
change things?
Yep.
I mean, was there any other country that was willing to do that?
Nope.
You know, so America ain't so bad.
Nope. Nope. You don't kill 700,000 people to free 4 million slaves if you're just outright evil. If you want to know what evil is, ask the immigrants who come here from communist countries. The people down in South America who are fleeing into this country because they're getting chased out, you know, by, like, real killers. You know what I'm saying? So let's get back on. I'm going to get back on track. You know,
You're good.
H, I'm glad you pointed that out. But so let's go back to how it all got started, because we hear a lot of lies. All right. So, you know, we hear about the 1619 Project, right? When the African-Americans came to this country in the beginning, they were not slaves. They were indentured servants, just like the whites were who came from Europe. The way it went back then, you sold yourself like a lease for 7 years. And then once your 7 years were done, you would become free. You would be able to, you know, become a citizen, blah, 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 blah. They would give you like 400 acres of land, prime real estate. You go into farming, and then you go out and get your own indentured service. And then
you start to pay your way over here.
You have to pay your way over here. Because back then you had to have, you know, a price to get on a ship was like very expensive. You had to loan yourself out to get here. So just think how bad it had to be in the home country. So, you know, it's so bad over there that I'm going to sign myself over for 7 years to be somebody's indentured servant. See, we can't imagine that today because, you know, we got internet, AC, freedom, you know, but back then you have to put stuff into proper perspective. Back in the day, it was okay to marry a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And today you did that, you go to jail. My point is you make progress with time, right?
I guess that was a practice back then because yep. young women, I guess they wanted to start large families, and they started young.
Yep, and plus people died at the age of 40. The average life expectancy was 40, so you kind of had to get started early.
Yeah, and and if you worry about being short, when and not too much of us are, but when the people from Europe, the men from Europe that were the first explorers, set foot on American soil, what is now America, they were at what, an average of about 5 feet tall, if even that?
Yep. If that,
4'10",
yep.
4'11".
Yep.
And then the Indians go, who are these guys?
Right.
Especially the Timaquans. They were already part of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yep, yep.
But
yep.
They were like 7 feet tall.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
So, man.
Yep. So we're just riding through. We're just reminiscing. You know, because we have a method to this. Because like a lot of the hatred and division that we see, because we've allowed wicked people to put us into groups. Mm-hmm. And we're all guilty of this at some point, you know, historically. You know, it's not all, you know, the white man's burden, not all the black man's burden. You know, there were things that were done to keep us separated. So moving on down the American trail, history trail, like I said, we're doing history today. 1619, you had African American, you had the first African Americans that came here into Jamestown, you know, as indentured servants, right? And back in those days, you didn't have any racial restrictions. Blacks and whites, for the most part, got along. Can you imagine that? So you didn't need the Democrats in the 60s to make you love each other. That, you know, that was the nat. You put black kids in the room, you put white kids in the room, guess what? They're going to play. That's what kids do. Until adults tell them, you know, you can't play with that one, you can't play with that one, right? And plus, you know, I think everybody, you know, claims to be, a lot of people on this show claim to be Christian folks, and in the Bible it says from one blood drop, God created all the nations who inhabit the earth. So there's no such thing as a black race or a white race, but the U.S. Census forces us to see ourselves a certain way. But moving on down, so like I said, we all kind of got along until there was a Bacon's Rebellion in 1675. And 1676, 100 years before the War of Independence. The reason this rebellion broke out was because the landowners started lying to the indentured servants. They signed a 7-year agreement, right? They said, oh, your 7-year hadn't got here yet. So the blacks and the whites, the indentured servants, they caught on to it and they rose up. This was your first, I would guess, your black lives, white lives matter unit together. You had blacks and whites together rising up. And then what the plantation owners figured out, they said, you know what? In order to control the labor supply, we got to divide blacks against whites. And what they did was, this is the Bacon's Rebellion, look it up, in the year 1675, 1676, 100 years before the American Declaration of Independence. The blacks who took part in that rebellion, they were crucified, you know, killed, murdered, hung, lynched, and the whites were lashed, and that's when they started classifying slavery based on race. And then you had literature that was, you know, done, that was dispersed to teach whites that blacks were less than, right? So we're just moving on down the line. Okay, so you got anything, Doug, so far?
That's good. It's an interesting history.
Yep, like I said, it's all in the books. You know, so then, like I said, so that's when the kind of racial division first started. So then they created a caste system where they divided people. Because see, the thing about it, these rebels that rose up, you couldn't identify them because you got blacks and whites and, you know, Native Americans. So they had to say, you know what, let's figure out a way to know who's who. So they said, okay, well, you got these black folk. We're going to make the black folk slaves because you can identify them. If I'm a white person, I don't want to get mistaken as being a slave owner. Being a slave. So we're going to say, you know what? It's too complicated. We're going to put the white folk on this side, put the black folk on this side. So that's kind of how this whole race-based system
started.
Did they
free the white folk?
Yeah, they freed them. They may have worked like actually 3 years, but what they needed to do, they need to get enough white folk on their side to keep the black folk in check. Because back then, the black population was 20%. So they had to see the 1%, the planters, they needed troops, right? So they freed many of the whites, and like I said, and they divided them based on color. Then they start passing laws saying that, you know, whites and blacks couldn't marry because that's when they started codifying race, you know, based on color. And slavery based on color. So then we move on down to the War of Independence. Hey, Doug, do you know what provoked the American Revolutionary War? Like, what caused, like, all hell to break loose?
Tea?
Yep, it was, well, before the tea, you had the Boston Massacre.
Yes.
And you had five American colonists up in Massachusetts. And the first patriot to die was Addis Crispus, a black man. So that defeats the purpose of, you know, a black man got killed along with four other whites. And that's what caused the whole, you know, American War of Independence, pretty much. That's when they said, okay, Britain, you went too far, right? Just putting stuff out there that hasn't been put out there before. Cause like I said, because people try to divide races, you know, based on nonsense. That's how you control people. So moving on down the line. So the war broke out. Yeah, the War of Independence. So they had this issue. They tried to figure out, okay, we got 13 colonies. The issue for the 13 colonies was, what about slavery? Because Thomas Jefferson snuck in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, and the North was like, okay, you got all these slaves down here. What's up with that? So in order to keep the peace, you had the three-fifth clause, right? And also, if you go back to George Washington's words, they never excuse slavery as being legitimate. They always called it the evil institution. They always knew it was wrong. So you look at, and besides, you know, slavery was very profitable. Up until the Civil War, the slaves in this country were more valuable than all the real estate, the railroads, all of the industry combined. So with a country that young on ICU, I'm not justifying it, but just, you have to put yourself in people's, you have to kind of, because like I said, you had black folk in Africa owning slaves. So, I mean, it was money involved, right? And, you know, with drug cartels, sex trafficking, people do bad stuff when it comes to money. I read somewhere that money gives the same rush of dopamine as drugs do. Mm-hmm. If you love money. That's why the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. But anyways, I'm moving on down the road. So they had this three-fifth clause where they said, and a lot of people say, oh, you know, three-fifths, they're saying that a black person is only three-fifths of a person. Once again, not true. That the North said, you're not going to count all those slaves. So to weaken the South with the census, you know, we have that census. They said the South could only count three-fifths out of the slaves. Therefore, if the South could count five out of five, the South would have more members of Congress. So they were trying to set the South up for failure. And, you know, at the inception of the country. And then you had the 1807 rule that said after 1807, no more slaves could be, imported into the United States. So, like I said, the country was, in the beginning, was trying to figure out a way to, you know, get out of this thing kind of clean. Mm-hmm. Because they knew it was wrong, but they were born into it. Slavery was already in place before George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams met in Pennsylvania and did it. It's just like how the people talk about climate change. You know, we were driving cars at birth. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say, oh, I hate cars. You're born into a carbon economy. So it's kind of the same thing, you know, back then. But we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll get back in a second.
All right. You're listening to the Brandon Groover News Hour, brought to you in part by Frito-Lay. They've been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. And today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates in the company looking to grow the team. And they're hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 an hour with room for advancement. Join the team at Frito-LayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer, female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity. We'll be right back, guys.
Thank you. AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. White House Press Secretary Jennifer Psaki said Friday that there are early discussions about a range of options for new vaccine mandates or penalties for certain situations, such as domestic travelers and nursing home workers. She added that the administration has concern about anti-mask, anti-vaccine mandate restrictions in some states. Quote, if you don't want to abide by public health guidelines, don't want to use your role as leaders, unquote, Psaki said, then you should get out of the way. She also applauded United Airlines' announcement saying it would require workers to get vaccinated, saying support those vaccination requirements to protect workers, communities, and our country. On Wall Street, the Dow by 144 points, the Nasdaq dropped 59. More details at srnnews.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good day, I'm Patrick Johnson. The CDC says Florida reported more than 20,000 new COVID cases on Wednesday. That's the second highest number of daily cases since the pandemic started. Governor DeSantis says he anticipated a spike.
And I said publicly, this is our COVID season. We thought we would see an increase. I don't know that we thought we would necessarily see this many positive tests and some of the hospital admissions.
Florida has almost 12,900 COVID hospitalizations. A 16-year-old is among the most recent COVID deaths at Jacksonville hospitals. There is a report out there that says that the teen was not vaccinated. His parents are also hospitalized for COVID. Wolfson Children's Hospital confirming that the teen died there Thursday. 16 children are actually being treated right now at the Children's Hospital for COVID. 4 are in the ICU. A 42-year-old Jacksonville man has died. He lost control of his motorcycle, hit a construction barrel, was thrown from the bike. He was then hit by an oncoming motorist. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of a multi-vehicle accident on the West Beltway, 295 southbound before Pritchard Road. Also, there's an accident I-10 westbound at McDuff Avenue. And there's a broken-down vehicle on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at Duval Road, close to the airport. Mostly cloudy tonight, expect a low 74. Saturday will start the weekend mostly sunny, high 90.
I'm Mark Kinder with Affordable Water. If you have a water treatment system for your home or business, be sure that you have your filter changed periodically. If you don't, solids can build up in the filter and your system becomes less effective. Affordable Water can make sure your system has filters with the correct micron rating. We can take care of anything else you need to have the best water available. Affordable Water, 262-0197. That's Affordable Water, 262-0197. License number W32.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. Did you know that only 1% of all the diamonds in the world qualify to be a Forevermark diamond? They're the world's most carefully selected diamond and the world's most responsibly sourced diamond. These diamonds benefit the communities they're sourced from. That's why these diamonds carry an invisible Forevermark icon on their table. Most people don't know that Forevermark diamonds are individually cared for from the mine all the way to her finger. And that's where Underwoods fits in. Not everybody can carry Forevermark diamonds, and in fact, all of the companies in the Forevermark network that handle the diamond between the mine and her finger are vetted and carefully selected for their honesty and integrity to also carry that Forevermark icon. Underwoods is proud to be a part of the Forevermark network, and in fact, we were one of the first five in the United States invited to join. So come by and see our selection of Forevermark diamonds in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, cool. So before we get to the second piece, we want to jump to the Civil War and Reconstruction and, you know, Jim Crow and the rise of white supremacy and all this stuff that kind of got us in a rut. So we have three calls in the queue. I'm going to move kind of quick today, you all. We're going to do it like church. So, Darren, jump in.
Yeah, with regards to your conversation, you started off with we saved Europe from communist Germany. We saved Europe from Soviet Union. We also saved China from imperialism.
Yep.
And now we have to save the world from China.
Yep. Yep.
You know, if Biden was smart or any politician was smart, they would go to the WHO and draft a notice to go ahead and take over the Wuhan lab and confiscate all data and documents regarding this coronavirus, because it has to be asked one simple question. Okay, if it was a leak, it was a leak. Okay, we don't really know if it was a leak. But even if it was a leak, how many variants of this virus does China already have on file?
Yep, Darren, I agree with you. We've said on the show many times, we even did the political article a while back that showed in 2018 that U.S. diplomats in China were sending cables to Washington saying these folks over here playing with COVID-19, but they were ignored. So they definitely need to be held accountable. I agree.
It's not the people of China. It's the communist government of China that needs to be held accountable.
Yep.
And, again, we need to save the world from communism all over again.
I agree, my man. But thank you, Darren. I agree. Definitely agree. Thank you for tuning in, as usual. Uh-huh. Okay, so we got Stanley. Stanley, hop in, my brother.
Yes, Stanley Scott with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank.
Okay, what's up?
I run a national think tank concerning African American concern, and I want to say to you, you have a right to your opinion, but not your facts.
Hey, moving
and
on.
I guess it, hold on, let me finish. I send the information to you.
My show. Moving page. On. Call back. I ain't got time for the drama today. Got a long show. Ain't got time to fight. Nothing I said on here was not factually correct. Joe, you can jump in. This is no drama Friday. All right, what's up, Joe?
No drama today.
Okay.
Hey, okay. You was kind of talking about the cause of racism and all that throughout our history, and I noticed that you were going to start getting into the Civil War, and I wanted to recommend a very good book that was written by the historian at the military college called the Citadel up in Virginia. And it's called Gettysburg, Lee's Last Invasion. And there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that shows that during the Civil War, the Democrats and the Republicans went at it kind of even more back then than they did today, because they would pass over. The Republicans were the abolitionists, for anybody that wants to know.
Yep.
And the abolitionist colonels and all that were always passed over for battlefield commissions when a general got knocked out, because the Democrats ran the Union Army. And it's all in that book, and it's very well researched, and I would suggest that anybody that hasn't read it should read it. You can get it on Amazon in paperback, and it's one of the best researched Civil War, and it points out the Democrat Party being part of the, really didn't care about slavery. It wasn't about slavery for them. It was about, just the economics of the United States, and they would pass over the abolitionists.
Right.
And that's all I got. But
Joe,
what's the
name of that book again?
It's called, I believe it's called Gettysburg, Lee's Last Invasion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Can I ask one question what that guy Ronnie said? Is he saying, or is it fact that we actually funded the communists against the nationalists? Wasn't it the other way around?
Yeah, we funded the nationalists and the nationalists. Well, back then during World War II, we funded, I forgot the guy's name, Chek, whatever his name was. The one
Chiang Kai-shek.
That guy, yeah. So they lost, and they went over to Taiwan. And then I think it was Richard Nixon, because we didn't recognize communist China, for a while, but Richard Nixon, for monetary reasons, kind of sold out the Chinese government in exile, which was on Taiwan, for the Communist Party that we have. But they did that really to divide the Soviet Union against the Chinese.
Right. Okay. And one more thing. I was on the first ship in 1989 to go back to communist mainland China since 1947.
Thank you for your service, Joe. We thank you for your service. We support the military on this show. So thank you. Thank you. So, Drew, I'm going to hit you, Drew, and I got to move, my man. Come on, Drew. What's up?
Hello.
What's up? How you doing, Drew?
Hey, good. I understand my friend Doug Wilder is a guest today on the show and talking about race in America.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
How you doing?
I'm doing terrific.
Our mutual friend Dr. Orr called me and said, you'd love to call in. So I'm really big on this quote I read, and I started studying Dr. King a long time ago, but he said in a speech that nobody knows about, he says, as I look into your eyes of all my brothers and sisters in Alabama and all across America, he's talking mm-hmm. about the people who hate them. He said, mm-hmm. I love you. I would rather die than hate you. Mm. And I believe through the power of this love that even the most recalcitrant men and women can be transformed. And he was right. He would rather die than hate, and he did.
Yep.
And he was a prophet and a martyr. And his idea of hating anybody for any reason is wrong. We cannot like people's behavior.
Right.
But he refused to hate anybody.
Yep.
And today, what would he say about things like the hate groups out there? Even Black Lives Matter, some of the stuff they've done.
Yeah, they would ban him. They would ban, they would ban him.
They would, I think. Yep. I think he'd be hushed up. Or what do they call it now?
Yep.
And so, you know, I think if we lived by I would rather die than hate you, if we could all just remember that and understand that of the 20th century, he was the greatest man in my mind who ever lived because he put his life on the line.
Yep.
He got out there on the front lines, got his head caved in, he got hosed, he got beat, and ultimately got killed for what he believed in.
Yep.
And it worked. He's the only man who changed people's hearts. I saw my parents' hearts change as a result of him.
Yep.
And the words that they used to describe black folks were not used anymore.
Right.
You know, my dad grew up where everyone was a colored kid or the Italian kid or the Polish, you know, the Polack kid.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my parents change after they saw Dr. King and what happened with him. And I just want to remind your listeners that refusing to hate is where it all starts. Anything else is not going
to
work.
Amen.
The laws don't change people's hearts.
That's right.
They don't. Or we'd have a bunch of changed hearts by now.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you for bringing up this topic. And I didn't mean to take so long, but my friend Doug Wilder is just a great guest to have. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank
God
you, Drew.
You all.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't have said it no better. Dr. Drew has dropped the mic. Let's just all go home.
I dropped the mic. Well, I'll come on next time. We'll chat.
We'll be glad to have you.
Thank you so much.
We'll be a friend of Doug is a friend of mine. Mi casa su casa. Thank you. Okay, so yeah, back. So now we're going to hit the Civil War a little bit because a lot of that history is distorted as well. Okay, so let's move to the Civil War. Like we said earlier, slaves were more valuable than all the industry in the country combined. And honestly, I don't even see how anything I said earlier got any hits because this is all, you can fact check it all. But anyways, one-fifth of Southern of white Southerners owned slaves. Mississippi, believe it or not, was the wealthiest state in the Union. New Orleans was wealthier than New York City. I have a question. Why didn't the North just simply offer to pay the Southerners to free the slaves? I mean, that would have been cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Saved the war.
Yeah, because number one, and let's not get, I don't want to get technical on it, but if you go back, if you go in the Constitution recognized slavery as legitimate, right? So, you got to get your morals out of it. We're talking, this is business and transaction. This is politics, right? We know sheep get slaughtered in politics. So, you know, for all the folks that are saying, well, how can you just, I'm not justifying slavery. We're trying to apply reason to try to resolve an issue. It would have been cheaper and less deadly to cut checks. You know, just emancipate them. Great Britain spent 50% of its GDP. When they emancipated slavery in the British Empire, they paid the slave owners to free the slaves. It was a heck of a lot better than, you know, killing off folk. And then what happened after slavery, right? If slavery was your biggest economic engine, that is why the South became the poorest region. Because that's like somebody coming in and say, you know what, America, we're going to get rid of General Motors. You got to get rid of Ford. You got to get rid of all your tech companies. You got to get rid of all of your big economic industries, you know, for a moral cause, right? Let's say this. The Native Americans, for all the, you know, two good issues, the Native Americans technically own the Seminoles. Florida belongs to them. So the Seminoles come up and say, you know what, Doug Wilder, that house you're sitting on, your forefathers took that house from me. Are you going to move?
Mm-mm.
You're not going to move because you have a mortgage on the house.
That's right.
So some of those slaves and the plantations, they had mortgages on the plantation. So people tend to do what's in their best interest. This is why crime happens. People do what's in their best interest in regards to how it affects you, because people are naturally selfish at times. So like I said, I'm not justifying it, but I'm just saying it could have been done. It could have been handled a different way.
Just imagine that if what would have been a price at that time. I'm not sure what.
I bet it was cheaper than the war, because I know the Civil War, the cost for the Civil War and to rebuild the country. Because you have to remember when the war happened, General Sherman did his famous march from Atlanta to the sea. Like I said, only 1 out of 5 white folk owned slaves. So the other 4 out of 5, they were like yeoman farmers. Right? Small time farmers. So when General Sherman marched, they burnt, it was scorched warfare. They burnt every farm, every city, all the railroads. It was total war. He wanted to break the morale of the South. So what do you think would happen to those people? What do you think racial relations was going to be like if somebody just marched down Mandarin and just burnt down your house or marched down Palencia and just burnt, you don't say you didn't even own slaves, and they, you know, and burnt this stuff down to crisp. That's not going to make folk happy. If you think I'm just talking, go to Nazi Germany. Before World War II, we had World War I, and the whole world, the League of Nations, got together and passed the Treaty of Versailles. The Treaty of Versailles put tough sanctions on Germany, bankrupt the country, and guess what happened? That hatred and that distress led to the rise of Adolf Hitler. Do you know why Germany is such a nice little pile now? Because after World War II, the United States said, no, we're not going to punish you. We're going to do the Marshall Plan. We're going to reinvest. We're going to rebuild you. And now Germany and Japan are piles. They're friends.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example. So to all the people who like to just nitpick, you can look at stuff.
The power of money.
Right. So just imagine if after the Civil War, they did stimulus checks. Say, hey, you own slaves, but we're going to give you money to buy factories and build warehouses and build tractor trailers and all that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
This could have been handled way different. But what happened, do you know in the 14th Amendment, and remember the analogy I just gave you about Germany, right? You can only put your feet on people's necks so long before they start swinging back at you, right? So if you go back to the 14th Amendment, I see you, Chris, I'm coming to you in just a second. If you look at the 14th Amendment that gave African Americans, I believe, citizenship, if you look at Section 4, check this out. The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payments of pensions and bounties for services and suppressing the insurrection or rebellion, also known as civil war, shall not be questioned. But neither, check this out, this is important, but neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or any claim for a loss of emancipation of any slave, but for all debts and obligations and claims shall be held illegal and void. Wow. So guess what happened? So after the Civil War, when all that destruction happened on the South, the North said, all that damage, no claims. It is against the law to reimburse not just the rebels, but if your property, if you happen to live in the Confederacy, let's pretend that Florida defected from the Union. I don't have DeSantis' phone number. That's not my problem. I can't tell him stay in the union, but if the governor that in the state you happen to live in decided to leave the union and brought this evil war upon the people of the state, the 14th Amendment put that in their in the clause.
So you mean the people that were wiped out by General Sherman, they had no recourse.
Right, no recourse.
They had a scorched land.
That's why the South is now the poorest region of the country. It went from being the wealthiest region of the country to the poorest region of the country. If, like I said, if you go back to Adolf Hitler, what brought Hitler to power? It was the poverty that was brought on Germany by the Treaty of Versailles. Mm. This is what they don't tell you on the History Channel. So my point is, they permanently destroyed the wealth of Southerners, right? Which took the South from being the fourth wealthiest region on the planet to being the poorest. Look at my Germany and Japan analogy, right? World War II, after the Marshall Plan, Germany and Japan. Look, the United States dropped a nuclear bomb on Japan. Two, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We dropped nukes on them. Mm-hmm. We gave them some cash. We're best of buddies. I'm just saying, so imagine if the United States took a different approach. You would not have had the hatred and the rise of Jim Crow and the rise of white supremacy. And guess what happened in front of that? The wrong thing to do is to eat in front of a hungry person. Now, they had a Freedoms Bureau, right, that came down in the South and offered aid to African Americans. But whites were excluded from that aid. That's where that hatred came from. Think about this. I'm getting to you, Chris. I'm almost done preaching. If you think about before slavery, if I hate you, Doug, will I let you have a key to my house? Mm-mm. If I hated your guts, AJ, would I give you a key to my house?
Well, I might give you a key, but it might not be to my house.
Right, right, right. So before slavery, like I said, this is not, get your heart out of it. I'm not talking about love and like. I'm talking about hate. The level of hatred for African Americans was not there because guess what? Black people live in close quarters to white people. You know, I have to be close to you to pick your cotton, mm-hmm. breastfeed your kids. You got to trust me to cook your food.
Right.
You know, they could have put glass in the food, mm-hmm. you know. But what I'm not saying that it was hunky-dory, but it was a lot better than what we got after Jim Crow. And how you got Jim Crow, you know how the media controls us today? The number one movie, the first big movie in this country was called Birth of a Nation. And what they did in every movie house, they had that movie that depicted blacks as savages and rapists and hateful. And, you know, that's why the media today, when even though that 1% of black men commit crimes, the media has this thing where black man, black man, black man, black man, black man. So that is going to cause fear, just like the media is doing to the Trump supporters. White supremacists, white supremacists, white supremacists, white supremacists, white supremacists. Mm-hmm. So if you vote for Trump, you're white supremacists. It's the same game. I'm just calling a game. It's the same game. So I don't get into all the, you know, the hatred and the, because like even the people who are racist in the country, I just feel sorry for them. They're uninformed, mm-hmm. but I don't hate them, because Dr. King didn't hate them. Because you don't beat hate with hate. You don't beat fire with fire. You beat fire with water. You beat it with the opposite. You beat hatred with love.
Right, but racism isn't good for anyone.
Right, it's
and
not.
Of course, racism affects more than white people.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's there's black racists.
The biggest
Asian racists.
Yeah. In the country, I mean, you. This is my thing. A lot of the black on black crime you see in the country, I call it the black KKK, because their hatred for themselves was taught, you know, by this Jim Crow system. See, we're all sick in some form or fashion from Jim Crow. It made the white folks sick. It made the black folks sick. But that's why you go in the church and you get the Christianity and you kind of get your heart clean. That's the purpose of religion. It's supposed to get the scales off your eyes. Mm. And I'm calling folk out. You can't, if you hate black people, I hate white people, I hate Asian people, you're not a Christian.
Yeah, well, you probably need to search where that resentment is coming
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
And I, Doug, you love positivity.
I do.
And those people are looking at the negative side and they
yep.
are, and sometimes they're prisoners of it.
Yep.
It hurts them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They become the victim of yep. their own hate.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So like Germany after World War I, you know, they turned to the Holocaust, right? The South and its paramilitary KKK began to target blacks in order to seize control of government. Why? For money and survival. But had we done it a different way, it would have been a way different outcome.
A lot of good lessons to learn from that.
Yep. So it's not that black folk are this or white folk are that. It was government policies that caused all this mayhem. Mm-hmm. And guess what? And it's repeating today. You know, with the government sicking people against each other through the media and all this stuff. I don't get involved with that because, like I said, they talk about Tulsa, right? What caused Tulsa? It wasn't because a white guy took a walk. It was because the news media put false reports saying that a black man raped a white woman. Same game. I choose not to play a part of that game because you're not going to use me for free. All right? So, Chris, I'm going to bring you in and I think I'm out of time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
What's up, my brother?
I've been going on all of the different TV shows and radio shows. I've been on like Gorka and Ed Dean and you. I just wanted to let you know about the cyber symposium next, the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Mm-mm, tell me about it.
Well, it's at frankspeech.com. You just put your phone number and email, and you get a login. Mm-hmm. You can go on there. In those 3 days, Mike Lindell, he's already invited all 50 state governments to mm-hmm. come, and so far 30 have accepted. Mm-hmm. And he's going to show for 3 days how China changed 10 million votes from Joe Biden to Donald Trump. And Trump won the election by 10 million votes. And he has 50 data. He has 50 terabytes of data that shows, because every time you do an internet transaction, mm-hmm. there's a fingerprint on it. Mm-hmm. And he has all those code sources, and he's going to show them. And CNN won't go. I don't know if Salem Broadcasting has anybody going there, but I did. I know Orca is on Salem Broadcasting, so he knows about it, but I just want to tell you people about it. Man, you ought to watch it because it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, man, and the Chinese Communist Party is able to change 10 million votes on Election Day. That's not good, man. We got to get rid of Dominion. And he also has a new software that every government can use, and it's free, and it's not controlled by anybody, and it can do the voting the most ethical way. He's going to show that, too.
Okay, well, you all heard it here from Chris. You all check it out, and Doug will check it out, too. Doug, mm-hmm. just send me the stuff. So thank you, Chris. Like I said, this is a free speech zone, and within reason. Cause, you know, the day wasn't the day to pick a fight. You know, I got an hour, so I didn't have time for the little nitpicking. But we will take a look at what Chris is talking about. It's a free speech zone. This is not communist China. You know, free speech. That's what we do. So, Doug, I need the last word.
I love this. I love this program because it was good. It had history. It had something new to learn and a whole new perspective.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So we're going to – and we may hit on this a little bit next week, you know. 400 years of history is hard to put in an hour, but we did our best. All right, AJ.
That was a quick one. That was a very quick one.
Yep.
It's the Brandon Groover News Hour, and guys, we'll be back here in about a week. And you know that the Brandon Groover News Hour, brought to you in part by Frito-Lay, they've been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. And today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates, and the company is looking to grow the team, and they're hiring right now for a variety of positions. You need to find out more about it. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority.